Senate will please come to order. Members of the Senate, your Rules Committee has met. There were two motions. I'll explain those motions. And the rules, the ruling of the Rules Committee, it certainly can be questioned and it's debatable. The first ruling is that, and the purpose of it was whether or not the members of the Laramie County delegation have a conflict on Senate Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 2. The Rules Committee agreed that they do have a conflict because it's a finite class of people, and that satisfies a substantial portion of it, so they do have a conflict on that. Does anybody have an objection to that? Okay, that is the position of the Senate. The second ruling that the Rules Committee made, should someone in the body divide this amendment, and it is divisible, that if the amendment is divided as such that the portion of the amendment that deals with substantive law comes up, that they shall have a conflict on that portion of the amendment. If the, a portion of the amendment dealing with money comes up, they do not have a conflict, and they would be able to vote. And that was the second ruling of the Rules Committee. Further discussion, anybody object to that? Hearing none, that is so ordered. We are back on second reading, third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 2. Senator Perkins. I'm recognizing Senator Perkins. Do you wish to be recognized, Senator Meyer? Senator Meyer, stand up and ask for point of order.
Point of order, this would be for Senator Perkins' third time after prime sponsors had their second time. Is it on the amendment or something else, Mr. President?
Well, Senator Meyer, I'm not sure what Senator Perkins has on his mind, but as soon as I find out and listen to him, we'll see.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know what I have on my own mind, Mr. President. That's a fact. Mr. President, I stand because I desire to divide the amendment.
Okay. That amendment is divisible, and we will have opportunities for people to speak on both parts of the amendment. Tell me where it's divisible, Senator Perkins. What you want to do?
I believe that Division 1 would be line 1 through line 8 and lines 18 and 19.
That would be division.
That would be Division 1.
1.
And that would make lines 9 through 17 would be Division 2.
Okay, the chair rules that is divisible. Senator Meyer, it's your amendment. Which would you like to speak to first? I believe we should speak to division number 2 first. And so that's the chair is going to rule that. So we're speaking on division number 2 to third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 2, lines 9 through 17. Everybody has an opportunity to speak twice on that. Discussion. Senator Perkins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. On Division 2, I think we've already had this debate. This is the substantive division, and I don't know that we have anything else other to add. Other than that, there was a little bit of discussion with staff about, while there is an Attorney General's opinion about emoluments or pay for legislative pay, and so generally, any legislature cannot vote to increase their own salary. There is an LSO opinion from a number of years ago that does specifically state that per diem, and I think mileage reimbursements come in that as well, is not an emolument. And so that there is a LSO opinion out there that changing per diem is not an emolument, and so that you. Long story short, that means that it can be voted on by under that attorney's LSO attorney's opinion that you can change it for this session. So for sitting legislators can vote on this, particularly now that we've addressed the conflict issue, and that has occurred. However, the question comes in as we talk about this. Overall, it becomes some of those same issues that would prevent us from changing our compensation would seem to apply in this area as well, because obviously we have, the only people who are affected by this are legislators. The class of individuals affected by this are legislators. Legislators that are here, legislators that are down there, there is no other class. The legislators live within 10 miles are the class. And so ultimately it does, as is evidenced by the fact of the ruling on the conflict, that it creates a real issue about should we be able to change our compensation in this way, particularly as it affects particular individual legislators who are conflicted out. And that is a decision you have to decide again, but again, I think it militates against voting in favor of Division II. And for all the other reasons we've talked about already and visited about with this morning, I would ask that you defeat, vote no on Division II.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, actually the ruling that you can divide this actually defeats the purpose of the amendment. It probably wouldn't be divisible from the standpoint that one can't stand by its by the other one by itself without causing, from my perspective, and I think the perspective of the body, if Division II is defeated, what happens is that it takes money out of the whole budget, but does not direct where that money's going to go, and because we have a separate statutory direction of the funds, it would actually interfere with the interim budgets of the committees, and would interfere with whether or not you could possibly have things like sending people to the NCSL or CSG, because that's where that money, that pot of money is where this would probably have to come out of the extra monies that we use. That's kind of a situation where it's not considered mileage per diem or salary, but in other areas. So they'd have to reach into some other pot to fund the mileage and the per diem in this circumstance, and could interfere with the rest of the legislative action. So when you split it apart as we've done, if you don't vote for this, then, Mr. President, I just withdraw the other one because I don't want to have that burden back on the rest of the legislature, and this for the same reason that the good senator from the ivory tower brought his amendment. You'd have the same deficiencies in here. That's why this amendment was brought, Mr. President, so you wouldn't have those deficiencies that were in the first amendment that was brought forward to clarify that were what exactly what we wanted to do. Basically, vote on it up or down, Mr. President. Simply from the standpoint is whether or not you think that half of the per diem is a reasonable amount for local legislators while in session. That's the only question that you have. I believe it probably is in light of it's a 25% for local legislators outside the city of Cheyenne. Cheyenne legislators will get twice as much rather than four times as much. Vote it up, vote it down. We're looking for nickels and dimes.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against division number, did we decide that's division number two? Yes,
two.
We did. Division number two, which is what we're speaking on. Mr. President, I am for this policy. I think it's a good policy. I think it's equitable. I think it's fair, and I think it's reasonable. But I am against the process by which we're looking at implementing this policy. It is clear in statute that we are to provide per diem for every day of the session, starting with the first day going through the last day. That's clear in statute. We have, as a legislative body, tried to move away from these types of amendments based on concerns about their constitutionality and that it's not clear whether it is or isn't constitutional. There is plenty of time left in this legislative session to introduce new legislation that would amend that, not for the 2018, but actually for the 2019, so that hopefully we could have everybody voting on it. It would not be voting for your own salary. It would be voting for the next session. That would be the appropriate way, Mr. President, as I see it, to address this if we want to make it more equitable, which I think is perfectly reasonable. However, doing it through this process, through this legislation, I do not feel is appropriate, and I'll be voting against it for that reason. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being called for. We're voting on division number two, lines 9 through 17, for third reading amendment number two to Senate file 2. A lot of twos in there. All those in favor say aye.
Roll call.
It needs to be a roll call.
It doesn't. I don't. No. We'll do a roll call. If you request it, we can do a roll call vote. Please call the roll. The chair was going to reel that it does not deal directly with money. Was going to do a simple voice vote, but call the roll, please. It's okay.
That was requested by Senator Hale.
Senator Case.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
No.
No. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard? No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
Conflict.
Bouchard?
Point of order, Senator Bouchard, go ahead. I recognize you.
I'm just outside of that.
Your vote is your vote, and you voted no, is that correct? Okay, record it that way.
Bouchard, no. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Conflict.
Conflict. Emmerich?
Conflict.
Conflict. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? Conflict. Pappas?
Conflict.
Conflict. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 4 aye, 22 no, 4 conflict.
By your votes, division number 2, lines 9 through 17 to third reading amendment 2 to Senate file 2 has failed. Senator Bouchard, do you wish to be recognized?
Yes, Mr. President. And I just want to explain that I am right outside of that boundary. I'm not in conflict. I do support what we were doing. I just didn't like the process, but I would like to. I am perfectly fine with cutting my part of this per diem.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's interesting about the process of this. Sometimes the process argument wins, Mr. President. Enough of that rhetoric. I wish to withdraw Amendment Number 2. Division 1, it does not serve any positive effect at this time.
Without objection, Division Number 1 of Third Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 2 has been withdrawn. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 2 as amended pass the Senate? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? No. Moniz?
Aye.
No. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Perkins, aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? Aye, President Bebout.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing.
I have some question on how you recorded my vote. I was an aye.
Senator Moniz, aye.
Moniz, aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 aye, 2 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 2 has passed the Senate. Senator Rossless.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, briefly, I just wanted to clarify a couple of points for new members, in particular, that a ruling of constitutionality is not an appealable ruling. It's not something you can take to the Rules Committee. It's not something you can ask the chair about. That is in the body's purview, and therefore it's an individual choice as to constitutionality. There is another concept called germaneness, which can be appealed. Whether an amendment is germane is something where the chair can be asked, the president can be asked, and you can say, pursuant to 11.4G, I ask for a ruling as to the germaneness of this amendment, and then it would be the chair's ruling, which would then be appealable to the Rules Committee. Germaneness is based on that topicality, whether it's directly related, not based on the two-topic type concept or other unrelated materials. So there's two different standards that are available based on our rules and based on our Constitution, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rossless. Standing Committee reports.
January 18, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 10, to whom was referred Senate File 88, Palliative Care, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Baldwin, Boner, Bouchard, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. January 19, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Accident Report Confidentiality, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Any messages from the House? Senator Perkins, do you wish to go on to committee of the whole, or do you? What's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. President, before I make my motion, just to let the members know we will probably caucus shortly after we re-adjourn or reassemble this afternoon, and after we gavel in this afternoon and do some things before we go back into committee of the whole this afternoon, we'll probably have a caucus. We will have a caucus. But with that, I would like to try and get one bill before lunch, if we could, Mr. President. So I would move that the Senate resolve itself in committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has carried. Senator Pappas. It's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Bless you.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 55, Anti-Discrimination Military Spouses, an act relating to fair employment practices, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, was referred to Committee Number 8, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Baldwin, Christensen, Meyer, and Anderson. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
There is a standing committee amendment on the bill. Could we have it read in, please?
Senate File 55, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 4.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Committee of the Whole rise to report. It do so with a do-pass motion on Senate File 55, Anti-Discrimination Military Spouses. The Standing Committee Amendment has been read in, Mr. Chairman?
It has.
Okay, and at this time I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 59, and ask for the body's favorable consideration, or 55, excuse me, I'll stand corrected, 55, ask for the body's favorable consideration on that. This essentially is just changing the catch title, the term duty and uniformed, as was explained to us by our military department, are terms of art. And so just to make sure that we have the contents of the bill in line with the catch title, your committee decided that we needed to delete duty and insert uniformed. And so that's essentially what it does, and I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration, call for the questions, stand for the questions.
The question has been called for on the Senate Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 55. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Thank you.
The amendment has been adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this goes into the area law that's the discrimination and unfair employment. It adds to the long list of different things that that should not be discriminated against, the status as a military spouse in the appropriate areas. Then it goes on the last page, page 3, and there's a definition of military spouse. Briefly, Mr. Chairman, a military spouse just means it's married to an active uniformed member of the United States Army, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guards, United States Public Service Commission, National Oceanic Atmospheric Commission, Corps, National Guard, and or Reserve or Auxiliary Component thereof. So that's the definition of a military spouse. I think it's consistent with other definitions that we've worked on. The need for this bill, Mr. Chairman, has been some very, I guess I'd say it, poignant testimony in the interim, which described some discriminatory actions that have been taking place in different areas where there's a large amount of military spouses that we essentially want to make sure that we don't have a black eye as a state when it comes to our military department, the Pentagon, and things like base closure, realignment, and different things that may occur in the budget constraints that we have on a national level. We felt that we better start checking all the boxes and making sure that we're a five gold star state, which is essentially a state that has checked all the boxes, has worked with the issues concerning the military and concerning the state, concerning the public. And this is a step in the right direction to make sure that we're in good standing. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Any further questions? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was a no vote on this bill in committee. Whereas the spouses do sound like they have a problem being hired in the corner of the state that has a large military base, I'm reticent to set it up as a protected class. I would object to a new protected class in the state of Wyoming with the status as a military spouse. So I'm against the bill.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me start by saying that I voted for this bill in committee simply to bring it to the floor so we could have a very open and healthy debate about this issue. But once again, I echo the same concern that my colleague behind me has stated. I worry about creating a new and special class and the burden that it's going to put on our small businesses when we restrain them within the bounds of telling them who they have to hire. We also have to look at what it costs them to bring a new employee on board with new employee training and such. So on and against the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Boner.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for this piece of legislation, and just to certainly acknowledge the concerns of the two members on the Transportation Committee, I'd like to thank them for the opportunity to have this discussion. I think it's a very important one to have for several reasons. And first off, something I think that this bill addresses is the gap that we see between those who serve in the military and the rest of society. Our military is exceptionally small, smaller than it's ever been. It's one-half of 1%, or smaller as it's ever been in recent years, I should say. That's one-half 1% of the population. Compare that to World War II, is about 15%. And that's overall a good thing, but we have to be aware of that gap that exists in the civil society and the overall lack of understanding of what it takes to secure our freedoms and secure our national security. So this bill will help bridge that gap. I think it's important that we understand that and that we need to make efforts to adjust course before that gap becomes more significant. So that's... the first, I'd say, argument in favor of this particular piece of legislation. It's also, and while I acknowledge there may be a burden placed on the private sector, it's only going to be in areas where of that private sector where those military families, those same military families that are facing discrimination, are contributing huge amount of resources to those same local businesses. Here in this community, that is about $350 million per year, roughly. And a little bit north of here, my own district, Camp Guernsey area, that's going to be about $20 million per year. Very rough figures there. So I understand the small government argument, but we need to acknowledge all of the ways in which these military families contribute to the local economy, not to mention our national defense. So I think everybody has a general understanding, a general appreciation of what these military families go through in terms of long deployments, in terms of spouses that are gone for a significant portion of their time in the military. And this is just one thing that we can do to help those families. The fact is we've been at war for 15 years now. And there's been precisely zero sacrifice, non-voluntary sacrifice on part of civilian society. So I think we need to take that into account, and 15 years, like I said, of being at war, we need to renew this conversation about what it means to support our military families. Maybe it means more than just a handshake and a thank you for your service.
Senator Anselmi Dalton.
Mr. Chairman, on and against this bill, as an employer, I think we have enough classes. They've specified our classes where we have discrimination against, and usually it's, I mean, obviously age, sex, race, but going out to just another class of person, it puts a burden on employers. It's not consistent with federal statutes, and involving for veterans and veteran spouses, I stand against this.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I've got two questions about this bill. One is there actually a discrimination going on out there? Are there people who are out there or businesses out there saying, I'm not going to hire you because you're a military spouse? I'm wondering if this isn't a solution looking for a problem. I would like to hear of any circumstances in which this happened. And just so I know I won't be... patronizing those places anymore. And the other question I have is, if we're going to make the military spouses a protected class, then why would we do that and not make the military personnel themselves also a protected class? A number of people in the military and in the reserve and so forth get second jobs. In some cases, it's their primary job. So I don't quite understand how we can protect the spouses and not protect the members of the military themselves.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, and those are very good questions, and I'm glad that the senator from Sheridan County, Sheridan actually brought those up. We did ask the presentator to see whether or not, or the person who did the presentation, whether or not we could tape them. And the good senator from the other side of the state here has on his smartphone actually the testimony of one of the military spouses. And I think it's important that anybody that would like to see that, that we prevail upon our senator to volunteer that, and he certainly will. And, you know, that. So I'm not sure whether or not we're going to pass this on or whether we should, if it's really important for folks to look at that, if that's what your vote's going to swing on, then we do have that testimony. I will say this, though, is that if you look at the other things that are protected in our statutes, and you have the standard ones there, ACE rates, that's all there. But we also have tobacco. You cannot discriminate against someone who is a tobacco user. And I think perhaps a senator from Kentucky or North Carolina that used to be here, I don't know if we ever had any of those, but yeah, it's in there. You can't discriminate against somebody from tobacco. And then if you look at the rest of the states, there are 19 other states that say you can't discriminate because of marital status. And so, you know, I think most of you have gotten an email or should have gotten an email that has a chart about all the different discriminations on each state and in each place. And I had my intern email that to you. She's supposed to have. And so you'll have that information where you can look at the different types of classes of discrimination. And this bill doesn't say who you can or can't hire. It just says you can't discriminate against those folks. And this is what's been going on, is that people with that, and all, I'm going to try to make sure I don't use proper nouns, but when in one circumstance, a person who worked at a mall in Atlanta, Georgia, that was the director of one of the big box stores that you see in a mall that would be characterized as an anchor store. She ran the thing. And she came to a town in southeast Wyoming that had the same big box store and applied for a job. And there was an assistant supervisor and an assistant supervisor. And there was a sweater folder. Guess what job she got? You're probably thinking, yeah, she got the sweater folder, and you'd be right. And that was because she was a military spouse. That discrimination happens. I could probably tell you 10 to 15 stories off the top of my head that are very similar. So, yeah, that discrimination is out there. It's a black eye for our state. It's a black eye for southeast Wyoming. And I know if you've been listening to the news, you know that there's some discussion about taking down the number of nuclear warheads that we have in our arsenal. And you know the state to the north of us that put the president-elect over the top at their convention has nuclear warheads. And you know we got a black eye and a target painted right around us because of what's going on with the spousal discrimination and employment in this state today. Those are all facts. And if we're going to have base realignment or base closures or reductions in the amount of nuclear warheads, you're going to know the 3,000 people that are in that southeast community, they're either going to be reduced or they're going away. We have to do something to make sure that we're handling this problem. Because it's out there, these spouses talk to each other, it's around the whole military complex about how people are treated right here. And when that's back at the Pentagon and they're making suggestions, we better have our ducks in a row and we better clean up our own mess. This is cleaning up our own mess. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the bill. Mr. Chairman, this bill continues Wyoming's legacy of enacting these sort of discrimination protections that go way above and beyond what the federally minimum required protections are. Wyoming adopted the Fair Employment Practices Act of 1965, as we do for so many of these things, because it was to forestall federal regulation. As we had one of our fellow senators used to say, every time we do this in reaction to the feds, it's essentially blackmail. The reason this law is on the books is so your employment discrimination claims go to Cheyenne instead of Denver or Omaha. So we created our own Fair Employment Practices Act. But over the years, Wyoming has gone so far beyond what's required for compliance with the federal minimum. Federal law says this applies if you have 15 employees or more. Wyoming says two or more. We're talking about a single employer with a single employee being subject to this law, which has a host of protections for protected classes, including smokers. Now we're going to add military spouses. And if any of you have ever gotten one of these complaints, you know you have to drop everything. No other business gets done, and you have to lawyer up and attend to this. Not only that, the penalties in Wyoming far exceed federal law. Federal law allows award of back pay for a maximum of 2 years. Wyoming allows the award of back pay, no limit specified, or front pay, no limit specified. So in Wyoming, you go to one of these hearings, the employee can say, not only am I entitled to compensation for the last 10 years I worked here, but, you know, if they weren't such jerks to me, I'd be there another 20. I'd like that next 20 years, too, even though I'm not here. This is a serious thing to add a protected class to this statute, because the statute has morphed over time where it is a tremendously anti-employer and anti-job statute. On and against the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, it's been a very useful debate. I think it's identified that we need to do some work in our anti-discrimination law. But that work is outside the scope of this bill. This bill is to clean up a mess. And I say to the Senate, it's time we stopped just giving lip service to supporting the people in our military and their families and actually do it. We heard the description that apparently the committee took considerable testimony that this discrimination is in fact occurring. Let's clean up the mess and then go back in a separate bill or an interim study and clean up the underlying law, because it clearly has some problems.
Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that was exactly the point. I could have asked for a point of order, but I thought the good senator from the northeast part of the state were making some very good points, and I certainly say that, as the senator from the Ivory Tower said, if you want to run one of these things to clean up some of those messes, and you got the bills, I don't. I got 10 of them. I'm searching for partners. You know, so I can't do it, but if the good senator from Northeast can, I'd certainly consider being a co-sponsor, because I think we got some cleaning up to do there in our statutes. But Mr. Chairman, we also got some cleaning up to do here right in our own backyard, and we've got a darn good reason to do it.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm finding a little irony in this, and I'll tell you why, because I'm thinking what these people are fighting for. They're fighting for our freedoms. They're fighting for our rights to have dissenting opinions. They're fighting for the right to have economic liberty, to hire who you want to hire, to produce the product you want to produce. That's what they're fighting for, your freedom. Freedom includes the right of association. Freedom includes the right in an economic free society. Frankly, I think they're wrong if they don't want to hire a military spouse. They're wrong. That's crazy. But you don't want to put it in the law, because it's their right. It's their right. And we don't take rights away lightly.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me start by saying I certainly appreciate what this bill is trying to do. And in our business, if we can, when we have a veteran come along, we employ them. They're great employees. But I want to say what we pass to imply on big box stores applies to mom and pop as well. And we have to consider they are operating on a small margin right now. And we have to consider what is it going to cost them to bring this employee online? And can they afford to make that investment to bring this employee online for that employee to leave in 3 months? It's a sad, sad situation. But when we're dealing with a small margin, can we dictate to that mom-and-pop store who they're going to employ and who they're not?
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate certainly the perspectives, especially of our small business owners, and just point out another element of this bill is a misperception out there that, you know, the moment that you hire these individuals are gone within a few months. And just, a technical correction, whenever you change a station in the military, you're there for at least 2 years minimum. Many times it's going to be more. So if that employee is only there for 3 months before they leave, it's probably because they had a hard time finding a job in the previous year and a half because of these discriminatory practices. So it's important to understand that even though that minimum is 2 years, there's been folks that can stay at an installation for, especially when it's a very installation with a very unique mission like the nuclear deterrence mission, for 5, 6, 7 years. Some folks I know anecdotally that stay up that base for up to 15 years, just because there's only a very small amount of installations where their skill set is useful, and this is one of three of them. So that's another element of this piece of legislation, that there is a misperception, an inaccurate assumption, that they're going to be gone within less than 2 years. So I'd like to correct that and just ask you to consider that, you know, I certainly appreciate the support that this country shows its military. We made some significant improvement since previous generations, but I can tell you what, even if that those sentiments are well-intentioned, they might seem a little shallow. They might seem a little hollow if somebody comes up and says, thank you for your service, but you know your spouse is basically sacrificing their career because of your service.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the bill, Senate File 55. I find it deplorable that any businesses would be making this one of the criteria. I have a business in a state south of us along the Mexican border that we have three stores, and at any given time about half of our 24 employees are military veterans or veteran spouses, excuse me. And they're wonderful employees. As has been stated before, sometimes they're there for an extended period. One has been with us for the full 5 years. I can't believe somebody would pass up the opportunity to hire one of these great employees who has traveled around, knows the business, has done other things, and adds a lot to your business when they get there. I still am against this bill because it makes a new protected class.
Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm sitting back here listening to the debate, and it's been excellent on this particular bill. And I hear both sides, and nobody supports the military any more than I do, but I'm also a small businessman. And what I would ask the body to do, the senators, to consider is to move this bill forward and vote for it at this particular time. And maybe there's a way to adjust so you can have it. I know under the Civil Liberties Act of 64, there's some law in there that says I think under 10 are exempt or some of those from some of that, the part of that particular law. So let's move this forward because we owe it to our vets to talk about it a little bit more. Let's don't kill it now, and let's try to adjust. I didn't mean it to say that we should kill it later. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying is let's see if we can amend this thing to try to satisfy all the needs. Military really need to know that we care about them. We understand what they're doing, the sacrifice they make, but let's don't forget the small businesses. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've just been thinking through scenarios, and I have a question for the sponsor about how this would play out.
We're talking about jobs that are sort of entry-level jobs in most of this discussion, but I'm wondering about something which is a senior-level job where they clearly want someone who's going to be there for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, permanent position, we'll say the president of a bank, and they want continuity. But the spouse knows that they're going to be gone in 3 years and discloses that. I'm just curious for the sponsors, is that then discrimination if that bank says, we don't want to hire you because you're not going to be around for as long as we envision the employee to stay, we want continuity. So that's a very different circumstance than I think we're commonly seeing, and I'd like to know how this would play out. It seems that that would be a problem, and I don't know if that's the intent.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think as long as that standards is applied universally to all applicants, I don't think you have a problem. You know, if it's part of the job description, you know, we're looking for a long-term employee for these reasons. And so, but what you're seeing is that yeah, they're looking for a long-term employee, but necessarily they don't hire long-term employees. That, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's out there. If you've got the time, I'd like to pass this on and get with the good Senator Baldwin. He has about probably it's 20 minutes, but if you don't want to watch all of it, there's a lot of good stuff all the way through it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Question being called for. All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 55, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Point of order? No. Division being called for. All those in favor, please rise. All those opposed, please rise. Senator Driscoll, are you standing?
I am not. I'm still on the last one.
You can vote for it.
So standing Senate File 55 has passed 20-6. Committee of the Whole. Passed Committee of the Whole 20-6. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
Good job. I'll take my stuff and I'll be confused. Yeah, you're going to trick me, aren't you? I'll grab all my notes.
I think I left yours.
What am I going to do?
Don't drink out of my cup, though.
Yeah, don't drink out of mine.
Here's yours.
Thanks.
With that order of business, introduction of Senate files, Senate File 101, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 101, Unemployment Compensation Exemption, Seasonal Employment, sponsored by Senator Hicks.
Senate File 101 will be referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 106, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 106, Obsolete Reporting Requirements, Repeal and Modification, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 106 will be referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Senate File 107, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 107, Probate Code Amendments, sponsored by Senator Perkins.
Senate File 107 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 104, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 104, Regulation of Bingo and Pull Tab Game Events, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Mm. Senate File 104 will be referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 105, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 105, Uniform Power of Attorney Act, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 105 will refer to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 103, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 103, Water Project Repayment, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 103 will refer to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 102, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 102, Board of County Commissioners Designee Zoning Certificates, sponsored by Senator Moniz.
Senate File 102 will refer to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 100, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 100, Limited Liability Companies, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 100 will refer to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 99, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 99, Committee and Community and Rural Health Clinic Grants Sunset Date, sponsored by Senator Baldwin.
Senate File 99 will refer to Committee Number 10, Labor. Announcements. Senator Peterson.
Mr. President, your Revenue Committee, Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet in General Room S-19 in 1/2 hour. That'll be 1:45 to pick up Senate Joint Resolution 5, Countermand Amendment, and Senate File 87, Countermand Amendment Provisions.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt that announcement with a special motion. Mr. President, I move that we stand in recess until 2:15 p.m.
Announcement, Senator Meyer.
President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment on Wednesday, the 25th of January, in S-27 to consider the following bill. Senate File 57, Motor Vehicle Franchises Exception.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Integrated Test Center, the ITC, will be giving an update in L-51, and they're providing lunch there, too. So anybody that wants to join us in L-51.
Senator Burns, do you have an announcement?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2 will meet in Jonah Room L-55, the JAC room, at 12:30 today, or close to it, where we will take up five bills that have not actually gotten numbers yet: game and fish fees, livestock inspections, motor vehicles, registration fees, driver's license fees, and the energy science stipends and fellowships. We will also be meeting upon adjournment today to continue markup of the bill, as we will tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one other announcement. As I said earlier, we're going to have caucus after we gavel back in this afternoon. And one of the items of business is to elect or select our management council representative there. So anybody who's interested in doing that, get your succinct but excellent speech ready if you desire to come sit with us on management council and do all those exciting things we do. Thank you.
And Senator Perkins, where are we meeting and at what time for the majority party?
I will have that information by the time we gavel back in. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Further announcements? You heard the motion for the Senate to stand in recess until 2:15. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate's in recess until 2:15 today.
we got through it. Interesting morning.